Let's read in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we will seek to split the time three ways. So we'll just read very briefly. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We're going to go to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis briefly, but I'd just like to stress one word that's part of the passage that we looked at that I think you'll find consistent with Abraham's life. It's the word after. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, he obeyed. Our lives certainly are compassed by this very vital dimension. We have been called to a pathway, a life of faith. And faith does step into the unseen, but not the unknown. We seek to obey what God has shown to us. And there are times when we're not aware exactly what that will mean. But we do understand who has called us. And when I think of the call of Abraham, it was a call from the God of glory. He had been living in the Ur of the Chaldees, the most advanced civilization of that time. It was not just a little hick village, it was cutting-edge civilization. And yet the day when God spoke to him, when God called him, the glory of the Ur of the Chaldees went into a shadow. He had seen something greater. He had come to know someone greater. And here's a man, and he responded to God's call. But I have thought that as the neighbors got up one day in the Ur of the Chaldees and they saw a for sale sign on Abraham's lot, front lawn, they would go up to him and said, Abraham, you're leaving. Yes, yeah, I'm moving. Well, sorry to see you go. Where are you moving to? And Abraham would have had to say, I really don't know. You're moving? And you don't know where you're going? No. But I knew this, that the God of heaven, the sovereign Lord, has called me, and I'm going. You know, there are believers, and I think likely there are some here. And the words that the Lord Jesus spoke to Peter could likely be the words of your heart. Why is this happening to me? And as you recall in John chapter 13, as the Lord stoops to wash his feet, he said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And the Lord said, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. That is tremendously comforting with regard to the trials of our lives, with regard to the unseen difficulties, with regard to the mysteries of God's dealings with us. We are not fully aware of all that God is doing with us and through us and in us. He can say, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And as Abram moves, we find that he comes alongside of a number of tests. And so we want to look at very briefly at four of these tests in Abraham's life, which involved the afterwards. Let's just go to the book of Genesis chapter 13, and we'll notice very briefly this truth. Genesis chapter 13. Well-known story of Lot and Abram. Verse number 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. Verse 11, then Lot shows him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. Verse number 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him,
Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it unto thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land and the length of it, and the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord.
To me, this is the test of choice. You know, as I look at young people here today, I'm very much aware that you will be making some very, very critical choices. Building blocks for the rest of your life. There's the choice of the usage of our time. There's the choice of the usage of our resources. Simply put, how we're going to spend our money, what we're going to invest in. There'd be the choice of career. What do I desire to become? There'd be the choice of a life's partner. There'd be the choice as to your response or lack thereof to God's will for your life. There are tremendous choices that you must face. And here's Abram and Lot, and God brings this man into a test of choice. We know the story well with regard to Lot. And for Lot, it was easy. You know, it's interesting, sometimes when you're young, vision is 20/20. At least it appears to be that way. Crystal clear. I don't know about you, but I have found that maybe it's just my growing lack of vision. But sometimes with years, decisions don't come so easily anymore. It almost seems to be a bit perplexing. There are so many factors. But youth seems to have 20/20 crystal clear vision. And here's a young man, Lot, and he looks around, sees exactly what he wants, and he says, Uncle Abram, I'm going that way. And so as Lot moved down the road, what did he get? He got a one-dimensional result. He journeyed eastwards. I find that very telling. One-dimensional. He got what he wanted. And it just simply says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And as you follow the pathway, you understand that he became one of the spiritual shipwrecks of the Bible. And yet it says, as the Lord took up his servant, he said, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. What did Abram get? He got a four-dimensional result. And you know, as he moved down the road, he came to Mamre. He pitched his tent, which was in Hebron, and he built there an altar unto the Lord. Hebron, the place of fellowship. Mamre, the place of spiritual vigor, a spiritual vision. And I always seek to encourage young people and all of us today that when it comes to the test of choice, which is so telling and so vital, may we seek to make our choice from Hebron and Mamre, a place of fellowship. Couldn't help but think of Psalm 84, where the sons of Korah were linked with that psalm, and the psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, in the house of God, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And the choices we make will put us on one or two pathways. It'll bring us closer into fellowship with our God in response to His words, into fellowship with His people. Or it'll move us away from all of that to a place where we will lose the enjoyment of the presence of God. We'll lose our grasp of spiritual truth. Everything will become very hazy. Sad to say, there'll be great spiritual loss. When it comes to choice, young people, will it help me spiritually? Could I take the Lord Jesus on the course that I desire to go? Would He be comfortable to walk with me? Will it bring glory to God? Will it violate the Scriptures? Am I doing something that I know is contrary to the Word of God? I heard it today, and yet it's not uncommon. Where a believer says, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. A choice made. A course chosen. Will it violate the scripture? Will it stumble others? I trust that when it comes to our choices, the test of choice, that we might seek to glorify our God and seek to obey His words, because there is always an afterwards to our choices. And after Lot left, tell me, was Abram a loser? No. As God spoke to that man who could have had and should have had first choice, he was the older man. He was the leader. He was the one that had been such a help to Lot. As Lot moved down the road, after he was gone, the Lord said to him, Abram, it's all right. Take a look around. It's all yours. Is it any wonder that he moved to Mamre in Hebron and there built an altar to the Lord? But there's another choice. And you'll notice just down in chapter 14, if you have your Bibles open there, chapter 14 and verse number 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer Damascus? Verse number 5, And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. It's not just the test of choice, but here is the test of success. The test of victory. Abram had moved out against this king, and had recovered all that had been taken, and now he's coming back as the victor. Wonderful when we experience circumstances like that where the power of God has been manifest in our lives. We are riding the crest of victory of success. But it's a test. The test of victory. We might not understand how perilous a time it is. And yet we find that here's a man and he had already anticipated the peril of that moment. And as he comes back after he had won the victory that the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, the king of Sodom came out to meet him. And as Abram sees the king coming, he has already put his response into effect. You know, the test of victory, is, as I've already said, is a very, very perilous time. Because the world will seek to hinder any progress for God, and if they can't hinder it with outright opposition, they'll move alongside and try and infiltrate, try and move from the inside, try and amalgamate themselves with ourselves. And we find that his one purpose is to rob God of glory and to hinder the pathway and progress of every believer. And so here's a man, and he's coming back from the victory. And the king of Sodom, the picture of this world, comes out to meet him. And here's Abram, and by faith he understands the peril of that moment. Someone mentioned one time that faith recognizes the spiritual position of those that belong to God. And Abraham responded to Melchizedek in a very, very appropriate, wonderful way. Faith realizes the serious peril of the world approaching. Faith resists the strong pressure of this world. And faith rests on heavenly reward. You know, there are likely to be young people here, and I'm speaking to a younger generation. And you will be successful in your field. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I think we should do all to the glory of God, and we should do all that we can to give an honest day's work. And the world will recognize that. But the world will desire to buy you, to use you. Not just to employ you, but to manipulate you and to rob you of your vitality for God. And here's Abram, and he realized, I have no link with the king of Sodom. I don't want anything from this victory, not one thing. In fact, the king of Sodom said, you take the goods, you give me the souls. Isn't that the language of this world today? You take the goods. In this materialistic age of ours, we are being offered anything and everything. And could I suggest that materialism, and I look at my own heart, materialism is robbing us of our spiritual effectiveness and joy. It just moves in like a cloud upon us because the enemy wants the souls of those around us. And Abram recognizes the peril, and he doesn't take one part of that victory spoil. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." What I appreciate about this is the faithfulness of God. As Abraham came to understand that God is a good God, and God is a faithful God. And from what I understand, this is the first time that the little exhortation, "Fear not," is found in this scripture. Abraham must have been afraid. Abraham perhaps felt, maybe I have lost some gain. But God so graciously, the Lord so graciously moved into his experience, and in a vision said, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." We are linked with the God of rewards. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And for those that leave the choice to God, he always gives the best. And here's Abraham, and he receives the promise of a wonderful inheritance, of generations upon generations, as the sand of the sea, as the stars of the heaven. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. The test of victory. But life doesn't stop there, does it? And so we'll look at chapter 16. Just over the page. Verse number 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had to bear him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abraham, "Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing, I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be." And now those are not the words of faith. "It may be that I may obtain children by her." And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. Notice this. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And the result was tragic. To me, this chapter is a very, very pivotal chapter because it brings into view the test of barrenness. Time has a way of wearing at us, doesn't it? And perhaps there are believers here and you knew better days. Perhaps the sparkle of a Christian marriage is gone. I hope not.
Sometimes it happens.
Sometimes the vitality and the joy of God's will and doing God's will. You used to love to do that. You used to live for that. But that's just ancient history. Perhaps the desire to please God and to carry out his word is, well, you think about it from time to time, but it's not number one anymore. Time has worn you down because you've come into difficult days, barren times. He'd been in the land 10 years. He'd been given a wonderful promise, but nothing was happening. What could he do? All he could do was wait on God, but 10 years? That's an awful long time to wait for God's hand. And we watch as the drama unfolds, and Sarai says, it may be that we get the results we want, the results that God promised. And we watch as a child is conceived and a son is born, not the son that God had in mind. And we see a family unity broken up, and the results continue to this day. And for 13 years, was it? Abraham never heard the voice of God in his experience. Is there anyone here today? You're in a time of barrenness. You remember better days, but it seems so far in the past. You've made such a mess out of your Christian life that you are convinced, as I think Abraham was, that he just had to settle for second best. I think most of us have been there somewhere along the line.
We have failed to honor God. Just notice in verse 1 of chapter 17, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. Here's the God who's
the God of grace now. The test has been failed on Abram's part, but God's purposes have not been thwarted. And so God picks up a man who has gone through a time of barrenness and departure and disobedience and disaster. And yet God reveals himself now as the El Shaddai, the Almighty One, the one who's able to meet his need in the circumstances he's in. And he said, you just walk before me.
I like that expression, walk before me.
To me, it's the picture of a family out in a park, just strolling along, and the children are running ahead of us. Husband and wife walking along the pathway, children out in front, they're walking before them. They're in clear view. There is a sense of perfect security. They're enjoying the presence of their parents. They're walking before him. And you know, that's exactly what God said to Abram. You walk before me.
And be thou perfect, be thou without blemish, without blame, because my purposes have not been thwarted. And if there's a believer here today, you're
exactly where Abram was. Failure doesn't have to be final. God has purposes beyond our failures, beyond our sinfulness, beyond our departure, beyond our barrenness. And here's a man that is restored
so graciously by the hand of God and used in such a mighty way. There's one more in chapter 22. It's certainly a very well-known passage. Just look at verse 1 again.
And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or did test Abram. This to me is the ultimate test, the test of ultimate surrender, ultimate devotion. You've been asked to do what no one else had been asked to do. And as we think of this crisis in Genesis chapter 22, a man once said that Abraham, by faith, went out to the unexplored. I think of Calvary in Genesis chapter 22, and there had never been a Calvary before. Never. And it was unexplored territory. And here for Abram, it was unexplored territory. But Abram went out. He went on to the unexplained. He couldn't understand all that God had in mind. But he yielded up the unexpected, and he gave his own son, the son of promise. The test was passed.
And when I think of Abram's confidence in his God, he'd come to know his God a bit better, hadn't he? And he had understood, though I can understand things now, there's coming a day when I will be able to understand, because there is always an afterwards. I trust that
as we walk by faith, we might understand that we do step into the unseen, but not the unknown, and that we might be encouraged as we face life's tests
to understand that our God is absolutely faithful,
absolutely good, absolutely gracious. He is no man's debtor.